Amen. Good morning, everybody. God is good. Amen. Amen. I'm going to, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Eddie. Hands up here for the first time. Anyone here for the first time? You're very, very welcome. You're very welcome. My name is Eddie. I'm one of the elders here in Liberty. And it's just to kind of, it's a great pleasure to come here and share the Word of God. And continue on this series of breakthrough. Hands up, who's been really blessed by that series of breakthrough, because a lot of people have kind of been sharing with us and sharing like with each other, and just kind of, you know, since Christmas and since Pastor has started this series, that there's been some serious breakthroughs happening for people. And I know, Eddie, you're going to say that because you're going to start a sermon on breakthrough, and it's kind of manufactured, but it's not manufactured, because the amount of people that have been coming and just sharing their heart about serious issues that have been changing in their lives, whether it be with their family, whether it be within themselves, and kind of finding real change, if you can put it like that, you know, real kind of emotional change, emotional breakthrough, healing of memories. Healing of past issues within their own life, but also healing of mistakes they made as Christians. Now, that was a big one, because that might be a surprise to people. But when we become a Christian, and as the years go by, we kind of grow and we get strong in things, and the Lord starts to move in our lives, and the Lord starts to give us breakthroughs, we also find that there's times when we can go backwards. Do you hear that? Wow, drop that bomb into the church. But it is a reality. It is a reality. And as Christians, we kind of, we can have a tendency to go up and down. We can have a tendency to hit a trough and hit peaks. But you know what the great thing is? That the Lord never changes. See, some people think, and this is the breakthrough that a few people have been sharing, that some people think that the Lord stays with people as good as they're going. You know, and then as soon as they're kind of, they drop out a little bit, as we do as human beings, the Lord drops out with us. And that's not true. That is not true. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His heart for us is an eternal thing. He saves us eternally. He doesn't save us from moment to moment. And that's what I want to get into this morning with my message, that, and it's great that Niamh kind of bit on it too, or started it, is that the Lord never gives up on us. We might give up on Him, but He never gives up on us. One of the great breakthroughs that I got as a young Christian, you see, and I'm trying to get people into this mindset. I'm trying to get people into a certain pattern of thinking, because the Christian message is the good news. That's what, the gospel means, the good news, the good spiel, the good news. But if the news isn't good, well, then people will tend to drift away, and they will bring what was supposed to be the good news, after a period of time, it turns into the bad news. And their Christianity becomes almost like a weight on their shoulders, and almost like a condemnation thing every morning. You go, well, I'm not as holy as that fella in the church, and I'm not as good as Pastor Nolan, and I'm not doing where I'm not here where I should be, and I'm not leading 10 people to the Lord every week like I used to do. I'm not as on fire as I should be. And what was originally the good news becomes the bad news, and that's what I want to try and tackle this morning. I want us to get into a place where how God sees us, not how we see God. Amen. That's a big shift. It's a massive statement. That we have to get into a headspace with how God sees us. Not how we see God. Because we get it wrong. Because our flesh rises up. The law inside us rises up. Trying to earn the religiosity rises up. And it turns into a heavy weight on our shoulders that in some ways, all you want to do is run away from the church rather than run to it. You understand that? Are you with me? Okay, let's I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. Poor Nicholas, I gave Nicholas a lot of scriptures this morning. He didn't know what to do with me. But I want to go through a lot of scriptures because I need to get this across. I feel that people have come to me, I've come to Pastor Noel, I've come to Sharon and Peter and Louise, and have expressed these breakthroughs. But you see, as I said before, we have to try and hang on to these breakthroughs. We have to try and make them a part of our lives. Not just something I heard. They become a part of us. But I have sensed, and other people have come to me, have sensed that part of a lot of people's breakthrough is to try and understand who God is. Because God turns into the enemy. Instead of him turning into our Savior. So let's go to Scripture. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 3:21. We're going to whip around all the scriptures this morning. Bear with me, boy. Genesis 3:21. Now, I want to give you a picture, right? So you have Adam and Eve, right, that are in the garden, and the garden is created by God. And you have this perfect scenario, this perfect creation. All the things that God was happy with. See, God created the world and he said it's good. But when he created mankind, he said, and when he created the family, he said it is very good. And everything was very good in the garden. And God said to Adam and Eve, and he created the very good, because the very good was in the choice. The very good was in the free will, which was, you think about it, you create something, you give something its free will, you give something choice. That's how powerful God is. I couldn't do it. I would never do that. I create robots. I create a controlling thing. I can control everybody. If you do that in the flesh, you're mine. And I owned you. I don't give anybody a choice to come to worship me or to do what I ask you to do. But God is so brilliant. He's so powerful. He knows who he is that he says, I'm going to give you free will, which is the biggest part of creation, which is the very good. And he says to the man and the woman, he says, there's a tree in the center of the garden you can't eat from. And there's nothing special about that tree. Nothing unique about it. It was just a tree that you can't eat from. It's not yours, it's mine. And you don't have it. You can't have it. And I'm leaving it there in your midst. And because of sin was found in both of them, in other words, that they pride was found in both of them, and the enemy got in there and he kind of tricked them and duped them into thinking that they could have what God had, and they can elevate their position. They didn't realize their position. They could elevate their position. They ate of the fruit to see what would happen. And because they ate of the fruit, sin came into the world. Now, the word sin means missing the mark. And missing the will of God. Now again, sin can be a horrible word. And sin can drive a lot of people out of this church. And sin can drive a lot of people that have had the good news turned into the bad news. Because they think that they have to be sinless. And they think that they have to live a perfect life. And they think that now they have turned into the new Adam and Eve that can't eat of any fruit. And if they eat any fruit, they're back at the square one again. Which is complete wrong. It's not... The gospel is not about that. And I want to try and explain that this morning. You see, God came down and he came down to fellowship with them, and they hid from God because of their sin entered them and shame entered in with it. And all of a sudden they realized they were naked. They never realized that before. They were pure and perfect before God. Now all of a sudden shame came into their lives. And this is the result of sin. This is the result of sin that came into mankind. The shame was found. The perfect union was broken. What was very good now has become very bad. And God came down to fellowship with them and he hid for them. They don't understand. God came down to fellowship with them. But they hid from God. They hid from God. He didn't hide from them. He came down. He knew what they're doing because he's omniscient. He knows everything. But they came down. He came down to them. He didn't stand at a distance and say, oh, no, you've done all that. He came down to fellowship with them and inquire of them. But they hid from him and couldn't be found. And God shouted out, Adam, where are you? And he said, you know, we know the story. We were naked. And he said, how did you find out we were naked? Did you eat the fruit? Yes, you did. And so on and so forth. But let's move to build that story, let's move into 3:21. Are you there? It's a very short scripture. It says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. Now, that is a massive thing, what happened there. That's huge. Because God clothed our shame. He made the provision. He created the ability for them now to stand in front of them. But what happened was, an innocent animal had to die for them to be covered. And their shame had to be covered because it says it was an animal skin. So an innocent animal had to die so they could be covered and their shame can be dealt with. And that's what I want to talk to this morning. The title of my message is A Lamb for Whoever. And a lamb was provided for the first couple to cover their shame. An innocent animal had to be killed and blood had to be spilt for their shame to be covered. Do you hear that this morning? From the very beginning, God provided. Who killed the animal? God did. Who made the skins? God did. Who clothed them? God did. He provided. Nothing from them. He didn't ask of any of them. He didn't say, "Now, for me to cover you, you must do A, B, C, and D." He didn't do any of that. He just covered them. There was no law. There was no requirement on their behalf. It all came from his heart. It was his position and his disposition to cover their shame. Because why? And this is key if you get this. He wanted to continue fellowship with them. He wanted to continue the relationship. He didn't push them to side. He said, "No, I still want to be there for you. I still want to be your God. And I will provide for you. I will make a way so you can come to me." I hope you hear that this morning. I make a way that you can come to me. A lamb for whoever. It's me who works it. It's me who creates it. It's me who provides. Let's turn to Exodus 12:12. Exodus 12:12. Come on, come with me. Exodus 12:12. Exodus 12:12. It's like a bingo hall. Let's talk about another thing, because first of all, we had a lamb for the man, and now we have a lamb for the family. And it starts off with the Passover. And the Passover, I have to kind of bring a bit of history into this, because the Jews were, God created himself a nation for himself and a people for himself. And over the years, the people grew so large that they were in Egypt at the time, if you study this, that Pharaoh manipulated them. And Pharaoh caused them to be slaves rather than to be people, to be a nation. He turned them into a nation of slaves. And as they cried out to God, God sent Moses to them to deliver them out of Egypt and out of the hand of Pharaoh. And one of the curses, if you understand the story, was the Passover. Was when the angel of death was going to pass over all of Egypt, and all the firstborn sons, or firstborn of anything, was going to die. The firstborn male of everything, animals and everything, was going to die. And it was called a Passover. The angel of death was going to pass over. It was part of the plagues, part of the curse that God sent on the Pharaoh because he wouldn't let the people go. And he wouldn't allow Israel to have fellowship with him in the desert. You see what's happening here? There was a blockage. Because all Moses wanted to do was go into the desert and worship God. And Pharaoh wouldn't let him. And God wasn't happy with that. And that was the big reason. No, hold on a minute. They're my people. Let them go. No. And what was it to let them go to? To worship him. But there was a blockage. And God dealt with the blockage. And it was the Passover. And God told Moses to tell the people to get a lamb. And each family had to have a lamb. And the lamb had to be offered, sacrificed. And the blood of the lamb had to be smeared onto the doorposts. And whoever, when the angel of death passed over, when he seen the blood, he passed over that family. And the blood became what he seen and became the salvation of that family. Literally, the salvation of that family. A lamb for the family. And God says that when I see the blood, when the angel of death sees the blood, he will pass over. No harm will come to that. And we're given here symbols, guys, of God providing a way out.
for these families. A way out. Another alternative. But it had to come through the blood. An innocent animal had to die for that family to be saved. And the great thing is, God is so merciful. Everybody in the house got saved as well. Everything got saved. Once the blood was there. Are you hearing me this morning? A lamb for the family. Yeah? Turn with me because I'm moving through. You still with me, yeah? Leviticus 16. I'm going to get deep now. I'm getting deeper now into this. We're getting deeper into this. Leviticus 16. These are probably parts of the Bible where people never go to. It's taking ages to get to. Leviticus 16. Guys, I'm hoping you're hearing the thrust of my message here this morning. Because we have a lamb for the man, a lamb for the family, and now we have a lamb for the nation. We have a lamb for the nation because God had moved the Israelites through and He created the temple of worship. He created a space for the Israelites, a separate nation now, to worship God freely and as part of their identity, as part of their culture, to worship God. And the worship of God was created through the temple. And in the temple, in the tent of meetings, there was a curtain. And you have to try and understand the symbolism. I preached on this a few weeks ago, and I really felt the Holy Spirit was getting through to people on this. There was a curtain put through in this place, and you entered in through certain ceremonies, and then there was a curtain put through, and behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. And nobody could enter in there. And that's where the presence of God dwelt, the Bible says. And nobody could enter into there, only the priest. Only the high priest could enter into there. You have to try and understand this. And once a year, the high priest had to go through there for the nation and for the sins of the nation. He had to go in there. And the blood had to be sprinkled on this altar for the sins, not for individuals, but for the whole nation. And the priest had to go in there. And some say that, the legend says, that when the high priest goes in, what they used to do was they used to put bells on him. And they used to tie a rope around his ankle. Because if he went in there sin was found in him, he was cut dead. Or if he had a heart attack, he was cut dead. But the thing is, no one could go in and get him. And he had to drag him out by his ankles. And the bells were there to see if he's still moving. This is how reverent this place was. Nobody could enter in. Only the high priest, and only through the blood. Only through the blood. And it says in Leviticus, the Lord spoke to Moses, and after Leviticus 16, and after the death of his two sons and Aaron, who died, when they approached it wrong, the Lord says to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover of the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for the sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put it on the sacred, he's put on his sacred tunic with linen undergarments next to his body, and he is to tie a linen sash around his and put on a linen turban. And so we're given a picture here that the only way that this priest could go in here is through the blood of a bull was for his own sin, but the blood of the ram was for the people. Now, the ram had to be perfect. And it had to be blameless. If you read this, I don't have time to go into this. But the ram, it would have been, the high priest would have selected this ram as a young lamb, okay? A male lamb, a male sheep. And it would have been reared up like a pet. And he would have made sure that there was no blemishes on it. He would have made sure that it was perfect, and it would have been kept isolated, and it would have been kept specifically for this duty. And it would have been looked after and cared for. They would have been made sure that no other animal could come in near it. They would make sure that it was preserved and kept perfect. Does it remind you of any life that you know about? And the priest would have chosen this lamb, and it would have been kept perfect. and preserved for such a time and such a ministry. And on the day of sacrifice, it would have came into the temple and the high priest would have looked at it and he would have inspected it and looked at it, and it had to be perfect and blameless, and then it was slaughtered. And it's perfect blood, and it's the blood of the ram was brought in and it was sprinkled for the sins of the Israel nation. And so you have the lamb for man, the lamb for the family, and now the lamb for the nation. Are you with me? You see what's happening here? You see what God is doing here? Because it's getting even deeper. It's getting into such a deep place that you have to try and understand what God, because God is constantly providing. It started from the beginning and now it's continuing. Turn with me to John 3:16. I think you all know where I'm going with this, don't you? John 3:16. Do we all know that scripture? The reason why I'm bringing all this out is that people are coming to me and they're going that they're providing the lamb. That they're providing the sacrifice. They're coming to me and they're saying, Eddie, this Christianity stuff isn't working for me. This is not happening for me. I'm not getting the successes that I think I should be getting. I'm not getting the breakthroughs that I think. And then we press in on the issue. We say, well, wait, what's going on? I feel that when I make a mistake, that God is not near me. I feel like when things go wrong, that God doesn't want to know me. And to forget their humanness. And to forget that it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of a week. To forget that they turn themselves into the provision rather than God being the provider. And they say, well, as long as I am keeping this law, then I'm okay. And then that turns into then you making the sacrifice. That turns into then you creating your own relationship with God. God relates to me because I'm so good. God relates to me because I'm so perfect. God relates to me because I get it right all the time. And the problem with that is it's a dangerous doctrine, because we don't get it right all the time. We do not get it right all the time, and we make a mistake and we fail. But the danger is then you say, well, God doesn't want to be around me anymore. That's a lie, because all the way through history, God has provided for the salvation, not us. We can't add to it, and we can't buy it, and we can't make it happen. It's God who provides. And in John 3:16, it says that, for God so loved the world, that what? That he gave. See, it's benevolency. Nothing to do with you. He pointed at it, it's nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do with you. Get off. Get away from it. Get off the cross. As Irish people, as poor old Catholic Irish people, what we love to do is we love to put Christ on the cross, and then we get around the cross and put a ladder up beside him. Say, how are you, Lord? I'm with you up here. That's complete anti-Christ. For you to go out of here this morning and tomorrow morning then say, right, an hour on my knees and an hour on the word and I'm okay. That's anti-Christ. Because you're deluding the word of God. You're saying that I'm adding to it. You're saying that I'm putting on to it. You're saying that I'm making it happen. You're saying that now God is pleased with me because of what I'm doing. And we bring law into our life again. The danger is that when you don't get on for an hour, when you don't have read for an hour, when you don't read your Bible, when you don't get on your knees for an hour, then you don't think God doesn't love you anymore. And you do that long enough, then you turn into, it's bad news, not good news. Because every time I come in, I'm guilty as anything. Because you think everybody in this room is doing 3 hours a day on their knees and 4 hours in the Word. I tell you, I'm not. I'm not because I can't. But I won't because he done it. Now, it's good to read your Bible and it's good to pray. But if you're doing it to get God to love you, you're in serious trouble. You're in serious, serious trouble. It's actually, I'll say it again, it's anti-Christ. It's saying that what you've done is not good enough. I need to add something to it. I hope this is getting through. It's supposed to be the good news. And the good news is that he sets me free, not me. All I need to do is get out of the way. All I need to do is live and accept it. John the Baptist, when he came in contact with Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Let's say that again, just so I'm getting this. John the Baptist said, who Jesus says was the greatest man that ever lived, every man ever born of a woman, because he had this revelation, and he's the last prophet to bring in the new. He said, acting in his prophetic ministry, in front of all the people, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God. Who's God providing? The Lamb of God. God's Lamb. 33 years of age now, and God preserved him and kept him. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus didn't stop him. He agreed with it. He knew where he was going. And when we see it in the time of crucifixion, when he presented Christ before the high priest, he found no fault in him. The Lamb was presented in front of the high priest, and the high priest could find no fault in him. He had to make up lies about him. They had to manipulate. But he was found no fault in him. He was their Lamb. So we have a Lamb for the man. A Lamb for the family. A Lamb for the nation. And then we have the Lamb for the world. All provided for by God. You need to get out of the way. You need to stop providing your own Lamb. You need to stop getting up on the cross with him. You need to stop trying to get God to love you and get God to accept you. He already does. How do I know that? He sent his own Lamb to save me. If I was the only one on earth, he'd come. He saved me. He provided. I don't do anything. That's anti-Christ for me to add. I accept and receive in Jesus' name. I tell you, there's great breakthrough in that. I tell you, all you need to do is hang on to that. And you know what? You will go tomorrow morning and you will have a successful prayer morning. It won't be a law prayer morning. Anytime I was in the law, I this stuff that I'm hanging on to myself, I've got this revelation over the last 4 or 5 years, really got it. And I remember going in law, going to prayer, and I'd be like that, "Lord, will you come into this room, Lord? Lord, will you bless me, Lord? Lord, will you come?" And next minute I fall asleep. Or I'd open up my Bible and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to read 3 chapters of this. I'm going to make sure that you hear me reading the 3 chapters of this. And I'm going to make sure that it's really deep and long and on it." I'll fall asleep. I had no relationship. I was doing it to get him, to please him. It's pure law. I didn't trust him. Didn't know that he loved me. It's making him love me. Making him, manipulating him. "You owe me now." Why? Because I spent 4 hours now on my knees the other day like a head case. "You owe me now." I remember one time, and this is how law works. This is how law works. And people are laughing because some people are caught up in this. This is how law works. I remember God blessed me. I remember he provided something for me. You know what I said to myself? "No, I owe him now. I better go up to Pastor Nolan and see what he wants me to do. So I owe God now." And we try and out, we try to do him. But it's completely wrong. When you know who God is, and when you know he's your Lamb, and when you know where he has provided salvation, you go and you get on your knees to see him, to understand and to get closer to him. But the reality is, he's in me. There's a thing, I'm nearly finished. There's a thing called carnality. I want to bring out this teaching for 5 minutes if you allow me to. It's called carnality, right? And the word carnality means that living in the 5 senses. And what's the 5 senses? It's touch, sight, smell, hearing, seeing. It's called carnal living, and we do it as Christians. And we're made up of 3 elements. We're made up of spirit, body, and soul. Now, the soul is controlled by either or. The soul isn't really an individual. It's controlled by either or. And so, as a carnal Christian, you live in the realm of what you can see, feel, hear, and touch. And you can't live in the spiritual realm. And so, as carnal Christians, we go to the Lord with our stuff. What we, look, I've done this now, this morning, I've done that, gone to church. They all nod to God. You know what I mean? Did we get that one? No? Sunday morning, nod to God. I was there on Sunday morning. Nothing happens now on Monday morning. I wait till Sunday morning, give me nod to God again. And we turn into this kind of religiosity. And we live in the five senses of the carnal. I can only understand what I can touch, what I can see, the tangible. I can't understand anything else. And so I do stuff in the carnal to get, I relate to God in the carnal. Well, I was on my knees 3 hours a day, and I would read my Bible, and I went to church and done this, so God has to do something. But God does not relate to us to that, because he told the woman at the well, he says, you will worship God in spirit and in truth. Not in the carnal. God does not relate to you in the carnal. He doesn't see you in the five senses. So there's no point. You're wasting your time. Absolutely, 5 minutes in the spirit in prayer is worth 5 hours in the spirit in the flesh. Five minutes, if you're on your knees in the spirit, is worth 100 hours in the flesh. Because God doesn't relate, you're wasting your time. You cannot bring anything to God through your flesh in the carnal, it's through the spirit. And you know what the good news is? That my spirit is born again. According to Galatians 6, that my spirit is sealed by his spirit, and it's made perfect. Blameless before God. Can't even sin. Can't make a mistake. Can't get it wrong. It's perfect. And that's who God talks to. And that's who God relates to. And that's who God has fellowship with. And that's who God sees. And it's all done because of his lamp. There's nothing I can add to that. My spirit is as perfect now as it ever will be. It's not going to get any more perfect. This is the thing that's going to heaven. This thing, and you know, some people are a bit better than others. I hit ground like a lead balloon. But this thing that you see in front of you, that's going nowhere. That's going nowhere. That's going into the ground. God, that's not redeemed. It's not saved. There's only one part of me who's saved. It's my spirit. There's two thirds of me that aren't saved. I will never be saved. Because the soul, the spirit is in control of the soul. And that will bring it to the Lord. Do you want to, are you getting that? It's pointless. The only way we relate to God is through the spirit. And my spirit is born again. And I have life in God. And I have hope in God. Let's finish with this. Let's finish. Revelation 5. Are you still with me? This is good news. Revelation 5. This is the good spiel. I want to finish with this. Revelation 5. So we have, let's say it again, the lamb for the man. You're listening. A lamb for the family. A lamb for the nation. And a lamb for the world. And now look at what we have a lamb for now. Revelation 5. Then I see there. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on it, with both sides, and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who was worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep, see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which all are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll. From the right hand of him and sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God, for every tribe and every language and people and nation. Will I say that again? You purchased men for God, for every tribe, every language, every people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve God, and they will reign on the earth. Now we have a lamb for eternity. Because it says that he went and he sat on the throne, on the right hand side of God, the man Jesus. And he gave up everything. He gave up his position in that sense in the Godhead. And he became man incarnate. And he died, and God rose him from the dead. And he brought the human nature, and he brought the humanness of man into the Godhead forever. Forever. The man Jesus will be there, redeeming us and saving us and setting us free forever. He changed everything. Are you willing to change? He came and he changed everything. He changed the situation of the Godhead forever. And that's deep doctrine there. And you mightn't get that straight away. But he changed it forever. And he brought the man Jesus in. And he now is our salvation. He now is our king. He is the one that we will follow into battle. He is the one that has the name written on his thigh. He is the one that can open the scroll. He is the one that sets us free, the Lamb of God. Are you willing to be changed? Because when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and we give our lives to God, we change forever. But what do we change into? We change into a people that rely on him. That's what we change into. We don't change into a nation of religious people that rely on themselves. We turn into a people that rely on him and him only. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to allow him to change you the way he was allowed himself to change? Because when God comes into your life, you change. I gave my life to the Lord back in 1995 as a broken down drug addict that was absolutely smashed. Smashed in pieces. Couldn't go on anymore. Couldn't do it anymore. I was absolutely mental issues, emotional issues. I was absolutely at the end of myself, smashed. And God came into my life and changed me. But what did he change? He changed my reliance on me and turned me into relying on him. And that's what I got saved through. Not me, but Christ in me. And it's only until now in these years that I'm stopping me and allowing him to save me. And I believe that's the greatest breakthrough we can get. And I believe that if we receive that, that you will know and have confidence that even when you get it wrong, and I've got it wrong many a time, that he still is saving me. That he has saved me, saved me, saved me. All I need to do now is work out my salvation. One day I will be released from this. One day. And the redeemed part of me will go to be with him. But remember, you were redeemed. You are saved. You are set free, prospering, healing, authority. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells within me. I don't have to ask God to come into a room. He's there already. I don't have to ask God to prosper me. He wants to prosper me. I don't have to ask God to heal and heal through me. He wants to. Because he's in me, working out his salvation. I don't have to beg God. I don't have to manipulate things. I don't have to second guess. He's there. I am saved. And when I realize that then, it's almost like I become a Christian by accident. It's almost like I start doing things by accident. I don't have to strive and work at things. Because I've already been saved. I don't have to do anything. Do you get that this morning? This is my second, third time bringing this message to people. But in a different guise. I'm going to keep doing it until we get it. That we understand there's nothing to do with us. And that's how you can have a love relationship with God. Not a love relationship with God. I guarantee you have much more fruit in your life when you stop begging God and just receive. I guarantee you will prosper financially when you believe that God has prospered you already. So I've done it myself. A fella came into me one day in an office and he says, he was walking like that. And I said, what's that happening to you, man? He said, oh, God's after breaking me back there to teach me a lesson. My goodness. Oh my goodness. It took me about half an hour to try and convince that guy that God did not do that to you. I don't think I got there. Some people say that I'm struggling with my bills and I'm struggling with money and all that because God's teaching me a lesson. No. That's Antichrist. That's Antichrist. He has blessed us with all blessings. According to his riches in Christ Jesus, we have everything we need. He will give you everything. Some people come to me and say, God's teaching me a lesson. My marriage is on the rocks. No. No. That's not God. He does not do that. That's law. That's you trying to please God. I'll fix my marriage and God will be happy with me. No. God says, people come and say, God's had to bring in sickness into my family. So I need to go now and beg God to heal. No. Wrong thinking. That's not a redeemed person thinking. That's a slave. That's someone begging God. That's someone hoping that God will do something. Don't hope. Believe. God flows through us. Always. Why? Because I'm saved. Some people think, well, I won't pray for you this morning, sister. Why not? Because I'm not a great week. I had to hear, say, will you go and pray for some? No, why not? I'm not doing too well. Okay, I can understand that. You're not doing too well. That flesh side of you is not doing well. But there's a born-again spirit in there. Get up there and let it out. Some people come and say to us, and again, I'm not judging anybody, to say that the enemy's all over me. How can the enemy be all over you? He has no authority around you. He has to be let him. He has no authority around you. In Jesus' name, get out my sight. The power that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling within me. Get out my sight. I will prosper before God. I won't be guilty about it. I will have plenty before God. And I won't be guilty about it. Because why? Because he's in me. Working it out. He's in me working it out. This is the power of the Lamb. It's the Lamb of God. Not the Lamb of Eddie. It's the Lamb of God. And that's what he's accomplished. The power of the cross. If you get that this morning, let's stand. Let's stand. Deborah, if you want to come back. I want us to come up. If you want to come up to the front of prayer, we're going to line up here and we're going to allow people to line up here. We're going to put seats back. But what we're going to do is, and if you want to come up to the front, come up to the front. But want to come up to the front with this declaration, Father, I want to know you as my lamb. I want to know you as my lamb. I want to know you as that you have provided for me. And I want to get out of the way of me trying to earn it and me trying to work it out. I want that freedom to know that I am saved, saved, saved. That I am set free, but also in the salvation, the blessings will flow. I want to get out of that mindset where I keep on blaming God for everything. Not realizing that he's done everything. Do you know that? You know that sin, people's actions don't get them into hell. Whoa. Drop that atomic bomb in there. People's actions don't get them in hell. Now, I'm going to say something that's controversial. Stay with me. If we were at the judgment time and a murderer stood there, that they're murdering loads of people, and he was right, going to hell. And then you have a person that's standing there and that's absolutely done everything, charity, done this, done that, you're had lived a great life. The two of them go into hell. Just sin doesn't get them into hell. You know what gets them into hell?
Not receiving the lamb. Because there's no lamb for them. They didn't accept the provision. So if you think of it through, well then, it really isn't nothing to do with me. I have to receive the lamb. I can't make it. It has to be him. And there's nothing I can do. Anything I try to do is anti-Christ. So all I need to do is receive and accept that I am born again and set free. But what you need to do is you need to be renewed in your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to renew your mind because, yes, I am saved and my spirit is saved. Yes, it's saved. I have the mind of Christ in me. It's saved. But what I do also have is I have a residue of an old life. And I have the old memories, the old ways of doing things, the old reactions, and they come up and try to have their dwelling in me. But I need to speak to them and say, no, I am a new creation. Behold, all things are made new. And I start to live out my life in the spirit realm, in the sixth sense, not in the fifth. And I live through spirit, not through what I feel, touch, heal, or hear, or anything like that. I live through him, and that's where I have my victory. So come up and we'll pray with you that you will get that breakthrough and get that revelation. Amen. Come up and we lay hands and we believe that God is breaking through and healing you and setting you free of all these misconceptions, all these doubts about who God is, and that we can see God for how he sees us, not how we see him. And we can get that revelation that we are saved and set free by the Lamb he has provided. Amen.